These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ne'er Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
Our shiur this evening is based on the topic of Shavuos and not related to Parshas Bamidbar. I felt that since we are approaching Chag HaShavuos, that it might be appropriate to open up some matter in Mekomos which might not be so well known. So let me begin in the following way. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban, as you know, has a different counting of Taryag. And he puts it in his own gentle manner at the end of the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. So he puts in a number of mitzvos which he says the Rambam forgot. When in reality what he means is the Rambam had his different cheshbon in regards what should be included in Taryag and what should not. In the second of the mitzvos, Lo Ta'aseh, which the Ramban includes in his number, we have a very fascinating presentation, which is more than appropriate for Zaman Matan Torah. Says the Ramban, HaMitzvah HaBeis, the second of the negative precepts, which I count, is the following. Shenimnanu, we have been warned, Shelo Nishkach Ma'amad Har Sinai, we should never forget that moment when we stood at Har Sinai, Velo Nosiro Somidatenu, and we should never remove it from our thoughts, our eyes and our hearts should be directed towards that event every day of our lives. Vehu amoro. And this is, of course, what is contained in the Pasuk, Vehu amoro yisporach, when the Pasuk tells us, Yishomer lecha ushemor nafshecha meyod, Pentishkach es hadvorim asherro uenecha, ufen yosuru milevavecha kol yemei chayecha, vehudatom levonecha velevonecha, yom asher amadeto lifnei Hashem elokecha v'chore. Remember, don't forget, tell your children and your grandchildren of the day when you stood at Har Chore. Now the Ramban asks a simple question. Why is it so essential? Why is it so crucial that we have to remind ourselves, not that we received the Torah, but remind ourselves of that moment at Sinai? That's the shail of the Ramban. V'hakavono boze gedolo miyod. The reason for this mitzvah is of the greatest importance. She'im ha'yu divrei seder boi metzleinu mipino v'yolov ha'shalom bilevad. Because had we received the Torah by the mouth of a prophet, even though as a result of signs and wonders that prophet would perform for us, there would be no doubt in our minds as to the authenticity of that prophet and his entitlement to give over words from Hashem. But if the Torah would have been given to us only by a prophet, then im yakum bikirbeinu navi yocholem chalom bizman min hazmanim, if at some later date another prophet would come, v'yitzaveinu b'shum hepech min haTorah, and he would tell us the converse of what is in the Torah, v'nosan eleinu osu mofes, and would similarly give us a sign or a wonder. Then we would consider that the first prophecy had been refuted by the second, or at least, but at least we would be in a doubt which one is right, one prophet versus another prophet. Alze Omar, that is why we have the command to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai. Why? Because we have to remember, but when we remember Mamad Har Sinai, and when we remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chavodo u'b'yatzmo gave us the Torah, and when we say Ein Shom Emtsoi, we do not mean Chas V'Sholom to dismiss or to denigrate the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, but what we say is that Moshe Rabbeinu was the conduit through whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Shechino midaberes mitoch chrono. So when we remember Mamad Har Sinai, we confirm that the Torah came to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. As a result of which, says the Ramban, Nakhish, we are for all time able to dismiss Kol Cholek, anyone who comes along to argue with the Torah, V'chol Misapik, or anyone who wants to raise a doubt in regards to any of its precepts or statements. Unishakir also, we will declare him a liar. Velo yoileo oath, velo yatzileo miyodenu mofes, and it will avail him nothing. If this prophet who comes to refute a pasuk in Torah will bring all the signs and all the wonders in the world. She'anachnu hayodim, because we know b'shakrukso, his lies, u'b'pachzuso, and his impertinence. Zehu she'yomar b'mamadahu, and that is why in connection with Mamad Har Sinai, it says of Moshe Rabbeinu, the gambecho yaminu li'olam, all Israel will believe in you for all time, because all Israel now knows that the Torah that you have brought down to them is a Torah which comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Hu Ho'inyan Habo B'Parshat Ki Yokum B'Kil B'Chon Oviyo Cholem Chalom, and this is indeed the theme of the Parsha later on in Parshas Shoftim, when we are told that if a prophet comes and wants to dispute a law of the Torah, we should know that he is a Navi Sheker. So therefore, for the Ramban, the remembrance of Mamad Har Sinai is crucial, because that is to remember that the Torah came to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'yatzmo, and there is nothing in the world, prophet, scholar, whatever it may be, who can dismiss even one letter of that Torah. Ukvar bier horav ze b'sefer Hamada. And the Rambam himself has referred to this theme in Sefer Hamado, in the opening volumes of his Mishnah Torah. The Hu Yesod Godol Batorah, and this is a basic premise in the Torah, it's an axiom. The Hi Hamenia Habo Lanu B'Posuk Ben Tishkach Es Hadvorim Ashero Enecha, and that is what comes to us through this prohibition. The Hi is here and has warned us. Pen yosuru min aleiv mehodiyom levonim v'levnevonim ledoros olam. So therefore, this, according to the Ramban, is a mitzvah which applies for all time, to remember and never to forget Mamad Har Sinai. And then goes on to say, v'yal tit'e bozeh, and do not allow yourself to be misled by a misunderstanding of a Gemara. If you look into the Gemara in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph in Kiddushin, you will see there the Hodat Omlivonecha Velivonevonecha, and you shall teach them to your children and to your children's children. And the next pasuk then goes on to say, Yom Asher Amadat Olifnei Hashem Elokecha B'Cholev, the day when you stood before Hashem in Cholev. And the rabbis on that pasuk say that a person who teaches his grandchildren Torah, it's as if he stood at Har Sinai. And the reference is made to Torah. But according to the Ramban, the Hodatum Livonecha V'Livonei Vonecha is not referring to teaching your children or your grandchildren Torah, but is referring to teaching them of what happened at Mount Har Sinai. So how does this Gemara fit in with what I have indicated is the simple meaning of the text? And he explains, Ki limud emunas ha-Torah hu ha-limud ba-Torah. Says the Ramban, when the Gemara says, a person who teaches his grandson Torah, it is as if that person has stood at Har Sinai. Says the Ramban, what the Gemara means is, a person who teaches his grandson all what took place at Mamad Har Sinai, then the Torah considers that person as if he, the teacher, the grandfather, had actually stood at Har Sinai. So it's not just saying if you teach your son or your grandson Aleph Beis, or you teach him Hilchos Shabbos. Says the Ramban, what the Gemara means there is if you teach your grandchild all that took place at Mamad Har Sinai, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider as if you yourself were standing. However, says the Ramban, Avol nisbonin v'nikach raya midevrayim ki hi mitzvah olamitz. But what you can ascertain from the observation of the rabbis is that they were convinced that this was a statement which was addressed not only to the generation that came out of Mitzrayim, but was addressed to the entire people of Israel, the Yolam Boed. As a result of which the Gemara can say, any grandparent who teaches a grandchild of Mamad Har Sinai, it is as if that person has stood at Har Sinai. V'yayim kol adonos yidabeh. And it speaks with all generations. Shelo yishkechu inyan ha-mamad ahu shohoyal ha-cholom b'maris eineyem u'shemiyas ozneyem. You must remember and give over to the generations what we heard and what we saw. V'sheyatiku zem yidol ledol yolom. And it should be given over from one generation to the other. V'zos mitzvah lo saseh. And it is one of the negative commandments. Zichoro bal halochos. The author of Bal Halochos Gedolos remembered it. V'horav shechocho gam kein. But the Rambam forgot. Okay. So here we have a simple statement of the Rambam. That we have a mitzvah from the Torah never to forget Mamad Har Sinai for our entire life. And there is a special zechus in teaching children and grandchildren about this Mamad Har Sinai. And the reason why Mamad Har Sinai is so important, because it confirms the divine authenticity of the Torah. And that is one of the devarim palomdim perumot shalom. Now I have to confess, I became quite intrigued, because it seems that Ramban is making a very clear case here. You've got psukim, which are indicating to you quite clearly that you're not allowed to forget. You must remember Mamad Har Sinai. It's a yesod gadol, as he explains it. It is a basic axiom in our faith. And the Rambam forgot it. So I did a little bit of investigation. And I came to the Igeres Taimon, a letter which the Rambam wrote to the people of Yemen. You haven't got it, I didn't have the time. Came about through investigation later on in the week. But what I came across there was a passage there where the Rambam speaks about our inyan. And I want to read it out to you, because it is quite fascinating. And by the time we've come to the middle, you will all be asking the same question. After the Rambam writes the way he does, why did he not include it as a mitzvah in the same way as the Ramban did? Says the Rambam, addressing the Jews of Yemen, V'zichru Mamad Har Sinai, and remember always how we stood at Har Sinai, Asher Tzivanu Hashem Lezochro Tamid, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us to remember for all times. V'hizi rado b'lishochecho. And Hashem has warned us never to forget it. V'chiyavanu lehodiyo levaneinu. And has told us we must inform our children. K'dei sheyigdalu b'yediyoso. So that they grow up knowing what took place at Mamad Har Sinai. And he quotes the psukim. And goes on to say, V'roi lochem acheinu ligadeles b'neichem ayediyas oso ha-mamad ha-godl. And it is appropriate that you should bring up your children knowing full well what took place there. Utisapru b'chol kahol. and relate in every congregation. Roma Muso, the exaltedness of that moment, the Chashivuso and its importance. Ki hu tzir hadas. It is the hinge on which all our religion revolves. V'ha'ho'chocho ha'movilo el hanocho. And the confirmation which brings us to the correct conclusions. V'ro'memuhu me'yod, exalted greatly. Kefisha ro'memu Hashem, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself did. V'udu'u achenu l'bris hazo l'deyo. And remember all you fellow Jews. That this event which took place in the real world, and of whom Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of prophets, testified. And what was the greatness of that moment? That an entire people should hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and should see his glory, Ayin be ayin. So I said to myself, the Rambam is telling you, not just saying it's interesting, it's vital. And the Rambam hasn't included it. And then I went on. V'shalona seze. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the Torah amidst all these phenomena which are described in such detail and which we refer to as Ma'amad HaSinai? Why did Hashem do it? In order to strengthen our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now everything becomes clear. For the Ramban, the purpose of remembering Ma'amad HaSinai is to remind ourselves of the divine origin of the Torah. That's a parsha b'fnei atzmo. For the Ramban, the whole purpose of Ma'amad HaSinai was to bolster our emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since the Rambam already lists as mitzvah number one, the mitzvah to have emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Ma'amad Har Sinai becomes what we call a snif. It becomes one other element in a larger mitzvah. And you know that one element in a larger mitzvah is not entitled to be listed as a separate mitzvah. In the same way as every aspect of a sacrifice, the sprinkling of the blood and the shechita, etc., etc., is only counted one mitzvah. Every aspect is not listed on its own. So for the Rambam, Ma'amad HaSinai is crucial, but it is not included in Tariag mitzvahs on a technicality, because it is there, Ma'amad HaSinai is there originally, and must be related to all generations in order lechazeg esu amuna chozek shelo yishanehu mishne, so that it can never be disputed. We saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we heard his voice, he has spoken to us. So this is the Ma'amad HaSinai. For the Ramban, it is to convey the divine origins of the Torah, and for the Rambam, Ma'amad HaSinai is to confirm our emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is, however, one point which I want to mention before we leave the Ramban. And that is, the Ramban felt a little uneasy with the Gemara in Kiddushin, which appeared to suggest that what we were speaking about was teaching our children and our grandchildren Torah. And the Ramban says, no, that's a mistake. The Gemara doesn't mean that. The Gemara means that you've got to teach your children and your grandchildren all those parts of Torah which pertain to Ma'amad HaSinai. But Rav Yitzchok Hutner Zatzal, in the Pachad Yitzchok, he has a what appears to be a very major question on the thesis of the Ramban. And it's a kasha from a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Perek Gimel Mishnah Ches. Kol ha-shocheach dovor mi-mishnoso, anyone who forgets one word of his learning, ma'ale olof ha-kosuv ki'ilu mischayev benafsho. The Torah considers as if that person has placed his life in jeopardy. Shene'emar, rak yishome lecho u'shemor nafshecho miyod, pen tishtach es ha-dvorim asher ro'u einecho. The psukim, which according to the Ramban, are not speaking about remembering Torah, but remembering Ma'amad Har Sinai. So how can the Ramban live with an interpretation by Chazal of these psukim that they pertain not to remembering Ma'amad Har Sinai, but they pertain to remembering Torah? Well, there are 30 sections in this essay by Rav Yitzchak Huttner, and we want to get on to other things, so let me tell you what we call in rabbinic circles the bottom line. He says very beautifully, according to Ramban, the whole purpose of remembering Ma'amad Har Sinai is to remember the source of Torah. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvodo v'yatzmo. A person who remembers where the Torah came from would never forget a word of Torah. It would be too valuable. A person who starts forgetting Torah, it can only have its origins in the fact that he has lost his sense of value as to what Torah is. What you don't value, you begin to treat lightly. Says the Mishnah, if you forget something from your learning, you have already transgressed Rakishom Elecho Ushamore Nafshachom Yod Pentishkachis Hadvorim Asheroine. A person who would keep alive in his mind Ma'amad Har Sinai and would know whence the Torah comes to us, that person would never in a million years forget a word of Torah. It would be too valuable for him to forget. So there is no stira, he says, between the Mishnah and others and the thesis of the Ramban, which is why the Ramban never brought any problem from this Mishnah in others. Okay. Now, I want to come to another theme in regards to Ma'amad Har Sinai. And it is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Something very, very exciting. We know that there is no way in which we can describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu by any physical means. The Eloguf, the Musaguf, there is no physical reality which corresponds to the Shechina. And we know that. The Ksav Kabbalah has a kasha. Because in Mishpatim it says, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, which you know contains also a record of Ma'amad Har Sinai, as opposed to Matan Torah, it's Bris Torah, that's why they are in two sections, one in Shmos Yutes in Parshas Yisro, and one in Chav Dalet in Parshas Mishpatim. But the pasuk which the Ksav Kabbalah looks at with great excitement and interest is the pasuk which reads, Umare Kevot Hashem, Ki Eish Ocheles Baroshaho, which when we translate it means, and the appearance of the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like a consuming fire. In other words, the suggestion seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah can be compared to a physical fire. How can that be? And here we have his essay. You must excuse me inverting the whatever it is, but that's the only way we could get them in. And here is something very, very profound. Very profound. These are all Yediyos discovered in Yonim of Matan Torah. Again, to remind you of the question, how can the Torah say, Umare Kavod Hashem Ki Eish Ocheles Mado Shahor Yenekun? Says the Ksav Kabbalah, Lidati, in my opinion, Ein Hamechuben Bozeh, it is not the verse's intention, Lahashvos, to equate, Uledamos, and to compare, Esmarek Vod Hashem, the appearance of God's glory, El Eish Ocheles, to a consuming fire, the Yehuso in quality. It never was the Torah's intention. Leimor to say, Shahoyo Eichus HaKovot Hanali Yisborech, that God's kavod appeared le'ein hagashmi, to the physical eye, begavon ubemare dugmas hagavon v'hamare hanire le'ein hagashmi mishal hevesvish. It is not the verse's intention to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory appeared to the physical eye with the same appearance as a fire. Why? The yim came because if it were so, ma bole hostif b'milas ocheles. If it wanted to say that God's glory was like fire, why say it was like a consuming fire? Well, what else do you think fire does? If it wants to give you a physical picture, could have said that the appearance of God's glory was like fire. But it doesn't say it was like fire. So it was like a consuming fire. And what's added on by the word ochelet? And he goes on to say, Ma bola hosif b'milas ochelet? What's added on with the word consuming? Apart from which, the cholila lono lahakshim kevod Hashem el dover gashmi. And a cholila that the Torah should even suggest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to something physical. It's impossible to say that. So what does it mean that the covenant of Hashem was like a consuming fire? It's an insight which is exceptional. I have to tell you again, I was sitting with Diane Fisher some weeks ago at a Malava Malke, and we were discussing various rabbis and the Gedolim of past generations. And in the middle of the conversation, I may have mentioned it before, but worthwhile mentioning again, Diane Fisher takes a hold of my hand and he says, Rabbi Bernstein, obert zum ksave Kabbalah kumenzin. All these Gedolim that we have mentioned in the past few moments, they are all not in the same class as this gentleman. It's 9 years after he passed on that they still had no rabbi in Menklev. And after 9 years, when they were looking around for a rabbi to fill his shoes, they finally settled on the Malbim. Very, very extraordinary person. You'll see here what he does. Again, what is meant by comparing the covenant of Hashem to a consuming fire? What is given by this verse is the following to inform us. We have to ask ourselves, how did this happen? An entire people saw the glory of Hashem. It's a type of a prophecy that even prophets seldom get. And even when prophets receive prophecy, we know from what they themselves say that it is only after their bodies are possessed with tremor and there is a weakness that overtakes them. And it is in a sleep. And here, Kamosha Kosabi Avrami, Machashik Gedolah, Philosoph, Vidoni Elomer, Hahodine, Pacholaila, Machis, Vilawachati Koch, is Manishtano Abamamarazer. So how come every person at Mount Sinai had this amazing prophecy? Seemingly without exception. How can it be given to an entire people who 7 or 8, what, how many weeks ago? They were working building the pyramid. There was no, what we would call spiritual or intellectual sophistication. And there is no indication whatsoever that they went through the same introductory phase before they received their prophecy at Har Sinai, as is described by Avraham Avinu and by Daniel and by the other prophets. So how was the ordinary member of the proletariat, let's use that word, able to have these prophetic insights at Har Sinai in a manner which was very, very seldom given to the greatest of our people? That's his shayla. And it is to answer that question that this verse that I have quoted to you at the beginning, it is that theme that the pasuk addresses. Because in reality, the entire people were not equal in what they saw and what they perceived at Har Sinai. Rakol echad mehem hisig v'ra'a b'ein ruchni yuso mimare haruchnis asher lefonav b'chvod Hashem yisporach lefi erach hachonaso b'sholemus nafsho. Every single Jew saw something. But what he perceived was directly proportional to the preparations of a spiritual and intellectual nature that that individual had made in order to face this amazing event. What he received was totally proportional to the preparations that he made for that moment. Because a person whose abilities and whose preparations were minimal, lo shalto bo hasogo ruchanis min hakovet hanale ki im miyat lefi madregoso haketana. All he got out of it was a minimal experience. Don't think, says the Ksava Kabbalah, that everybody saw the same. It was a spiritual experience, and everyone got out of it what they put in. Where the preparation was minimal, the perception was minimal. Where their input was maximum, they got the maximum. And the person who had the greater abilities, the greater preparation, he perceived more. And I prove it to you. Ki Moshe, because Moshe Rabbeinu himself, who was on the summit of intellectual and spiritual achievement, of him it is said, Moshe Rabbeinu went into the thick cloud. He came the nearest. Aaron was just below him. The rabbis say it quite clearly when they tell us, Moshe Mechitza Liatzmo, Moshe Rabbeinu was in an area that he occupied exclusively. And Aaron also occupied his area exclusively. Kocha kol sha'ar ha'om kol echad lefi shalemus nafsho ulefi horoyem. Kamus hasogas hakovod hoyeso lefi kamus hachonas hanefoshos lehasigo. What they perceived was directly proportional to their preparations for that moment. And the Yalkut confirms it when it says, Lefi kocho shel kol echad v'echad hoyo hadibur medabarim. That the Shekhinah spoke with each person on their level. And the levels were not equal. And you will say to me, how is this particular theme conveyed by the pasuk that we have quoted? Umarei kevod Hashem ki yesho cheles paro shoho. Then we put it in my words and then we'll have a look at the Ksava Kabbalah. So the Ksava Kabbalah, when the pasuk says Umarei kevod Hashem ki yesho cheles paro shoho, that the appearance of the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like a consuming fire, it didn't mean to compare it from the point of view of appearance. It meant to say the following. The perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod was exactly the same as when fire takes hold of various objects. There are certain items which by their nature are combustible. And when you touch them with a flame, they give an enormous fire. There are other items that you can put a flame to them, and you can hold it there and keep it there, and nothing will happen. In the same way as the combustibility of various substances depends on how nature has prepared them to receive fire. Likewise, at Ma'amad HaSinai, the receptivity of the individual Jew of what was taking place depended likewise on his preparation and how he had been prepared, in this case not by nature, but by himself for the event. Say the Ksava Kabbalah. Alze Omar Kro. This is what the pasuk means when it says Umare Kavod Hashem Tiyesho Cheles. Meaning, Kila Heves, a flame Yiskatein V'Yiskadeil, either grows lower or higher, לפימיות וריבוי חלקי כוחס אישים שבדובר שהשלהבס נשלובו. Dependent on the degree of combustibility in the material to which the flame has been put. Because if you have a material which is combustible greatly, that is something in which the fire takes hold in a very major way. Why? Because like has found like. It comes a great fire. But in regard to something which only has a small degree of combustibility in its material, and if it's something which has not been prepared by nature to receive fire, then the fire, you can stand there with the fire all day, and in the words of the classic, therefore, the crucial theme here is that the degree of combustibility in a material is lefi kamus hachonas hateva shebadovo el kabolas ha'esh. Depends on how nature has prepared it to receive fire. Kocha b'mamad hanichbod v'hanodo. So it was with the moment of Har Sinai. Kulam zachu l'malei haluchnis michavod analo al senapele. Everyone perceived something. That is for sure. Nobody went home empty-handed. Elo kol echod rak lefi hachonas nafsho el kabolas hasogozu. But what you received depended on how you had prepared yourself to receive the cup. Hamumot b'hashlomo hoyu miyat ha'hasaga. A person who had prepared himself in a minimum fashion got a minimum. B'hamar b'bozeh nislaba gam bozeh. And why does it say at the end of the pasuk le'ein eichol Yisrael? Not to say before the physical eyes of the Jewish people, but ein horuchni b'hasaga. The eye of perception. Now that is a classic. The Ksava Gabolo interpreting a pasuk in a most major fashion, that not everybody got the same out of Matan Torah. There were people who went home and decided that they had seen something, but it wasn't so amazing. There were others who went home and realized what it was that they had seen. Because these are moments that you cannot just walk into. You can't walk up to Mamad Har Sinai, get out of the car and stand and say, I'm not impressed, and go home. Spiritual experience has to do with preparation. It has to do with commitment and has to do with an understanding of what it is that it was about to happen, and to act and to think and to prepare accordingly. And interestingly enough, the Netziv Mivolozhin in the Sefer HaMikdavar says very beautifully. In one pasuk it says, the Higbaltu Esahor, you shall cordon off the mountain. But in another pasuk it says, the Higbaltu Esahom, you shall make boundaries not for the mountain, boundaries for the people. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to tell who had prepared themselves the most, and they went nearer the mountain to get the maximum. And so it went back and back and back until you came to the very furthest section where the people who had prepared themselves the least, they stood at the back because they were to get the least. To digress for a moment into Chassidus, the Noyam Elimelech once said, I remember where I was standing at Mamad Har Sinai, and furthermore, I remember who was standing beside me. Isaiah. Everybody stood lefi madrigos. Everybody was standing in a place appropriate. And it's a big, to me, it was a big insight. Because we normally think of Mamad Har Sinai, they're all there, Nase v'nishma, Nase. But you have to remember that not everybody got the same out of it. Everybody got what they put in. Klal Gadol in Yiddishkeit. So now you're a hoof on Ira come, says the post, in preparation with interest, with enthusiasm. Not very little as I can't come to your services, they're so boring every time I come to sing you the same college. Let me just digress for a moment. Another item, yet again. I came across this week a very fascinating study in the Chuvas of the Binyan Shlomer, of Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna, whom I've spoken about on a number of occasions, Parsha Shkolim we brought from the Chuvas. He has something most fascinating. He says like this, there is a shaila in the Gemara as to whether we should devote Yom Tov exclusively to lochem, to eating and drinking, or exclusively to spiritual matters. Atzeres Lashem, and Atzeres Tiyalochem. What do we do? So the Gemara discusses, according to Rabbi Eliezer, either or. If you want it to be Achilu Shasiyah, you can have an Achilu Shasiyah. If you want it exclusively directed at spiritual pursuits, you've got that option as well. In other words, engaging in Achilu and Shasiyah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, on Yom Tov, is Reshus, it's optional. Says Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara in Pesachim, everybody agrees that we should eat and drink on Shavuos. Even though another Yom Tov, eating and drinking is optional according to Rabbi Eliezer, but on Shavuos, it's obligatory. Why? Yom Shenitna Boi Torah. It was the day on which the Torah was given. And therefore it's appropriate to devote it to eating and drinking. Asks the Bezalel HaKohen Mivilna, of Shlomo HaKohen's brother, I don't understand. Yom Kippur is also a day shenit nabot Torah. The Luchos Shneyas. Not only is it not obligatory to eat and drink, it's obligatory to fast. And the Bezalel HaKohen answers in a most extraordinary way. He says that he found in Sforim that Olam Hazeh was given to the world in the Zechus of the Luchos Rishonos, and Olam Haba was given to the world in the Zechus of the Luchos Shniyos. Says the Bezalel HaKohen Mivilna, that is why Olam Hazeh will only be of limited duration, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah and in Sanhedrin, that there will be 6,000 years and then the world will be destroyed. Because the first Luchos were also only of limited duration. They lasted a few days, and then they were broken by Moshe Rabbeinu. Masha ain't came the Luchos Shenios, which are permanent, they are still where they are at the moment in the Temple Mount, will never be destroyed. And that is why Olam Haba is eternal, because the Luchos Shenios are. Goes on to say that for this reason it is easy to understand why it is that on the day when the Luchos Rishonos were given, there should be Achilu Shasiyah. Because the Luchos Rishonos refer to this world. And in this world you cannot exist without Achila and Shasiyah. Masha Ein Kain, the Luchos Shenios, symbolize Olam Haba. And in Olam Haba there is no eating, there is no drinking. El Tzadikim Yoshvim V'Atarosayim El Roshayim. That is why Yom Kippur, which symbolizes Olam Haba, is a day when we are not allowed to eat, and we are not allowed to drink, and we deprive ourselves of certain other physical pleasures, and we are to stand in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to be before Him as without sin and without transgression, the way we will stand before our Kodesh Baruch Hu in Olam Haba. And for that reason, he says, on the day when the Luchos Rishonos were given, there is Achila Yisiyah and Mitzvah, and on the day when the Luchos Shneos were given, there is indeed an inyan of no eating and no drinking, because it symbolizes Olam Haba, not Olam Hazeh. Fascinating insight. Let me now just come to the last item that I wanted to draw your attention to, which you will also discover is a Yesod Gadol in regards to Matan Torah. Now follow carefully. I appreciate that the weather is not conducive to these major unionum, but that's the only time Shavuos comes. Okay. Says Meshechach. What's Shavuos without the Meshechach? You shall have no other gods besides me. As I mentioned always, and worthwhile mentioning again of Shavuos, somebody asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, J.B., why is there no prohibition against being an atheist? Just said you shall have no other gods besides me. And Rabbi Soloveitchik, in his classic style, answered, because there is no such a thing as an atheist. Everybody has a god. It just depends what your god is. Some people, God is money. Some people, that God is power. Everybody has a God. There is no such a thing as an atheist. This depends what your God is. That's why the Pasuk just says, "Lo yelecho elehim achelim al ponav." That's fine. Or Rambam zal besever hamitzos below sase de lo yelecho. The Rambam, in his Book of Commandments, in Lo Yehi Yelecha, which he counts as one commandment, Mono Arbo as Holos. In the same section, he counts another four. Number two, Lo Sas Elecha Fesel. Don't make a graven image. Lo Sishtachav Elohem, another one. Lo Sovedein, do not serve them in any manner of service. So the Rambam has in the Dibur of Lo Yehi Elecha five between Anochi and Lo Yehi Elecha, one and four makes five. Says Meshech Chochma, Uviyemes ki devar of Muchroim bekamo mekomos besugyas hashas. And the truth of the matter is the Rambam's thesis can be proven from many places in the Gemara. Ulam, however, as we have discovered where the Rambam is, the Ramban can't be far behind. Ulom Ramban Heshit. But the Ramban says, Im Kain Shoma Umi Pi Agvura Chamesh Mitzos Umi Pi Moshe Tofreshchem. The Gemara in Makkah says, I will see it in a moment, but I'll say it out for the, at this right time. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Torah is bigger matching of 611. And where do we get the other two? Says the Gemara, Anochi v'lo yihi yelecha mipi hagavura shemanum. We heard Anochi and lo yihi yelecha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So 611 and 2 makes 630. Says the Ramban on the Rambam. But if the first two Dibros contain five, and we heard Anochi and lo yihi yelecha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then did we not hear five from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And only 608 from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because 5 from 613 leaves 608. Therefore, ukvar biyaru achachamim, and is it not true, says the Ramban, sheshamu mipi Moshe, Torah, hainu tofrei shudalef? Did it not say Torah, tivul on the Moshe, 611, ushtai mipi agvura, and only 2 from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? For harav kosev zeva kama pa'amim, and the Maimonides has mentioned this Gemara in Makkos many times, V'yeinu nizker, and he forgot it this time. The very forgetful gentleman, according to the Rambam. V'yeinu nizker, and he didn't remember it this time. Upeirish devorah, says the Meshech Chochma. Let me understand what the Ramban is saying. De'ilu ma'adenem ha'vayichtov alaluchos kamichtov alishon v'sasteres hadibros ha'shedivarshom alaykeichem v'teichvish b'yom ha'kohol. When the Torah refers to what we heard on Har Sinai as Aseres Hadibros, the Ramban says, that's not a kasha on the Ramban. You might say to me, if you translate Aseres Hadibros as 10 commandments, you got problems. Because if you have 4 in Lo Yehi Elecha, you've got much more than 10 in the Aseres Hadibros. So why didn't the Ramban ask a kasha on the Rambam from the words in Parshas Devarim, Aseres Hadibros? Because Dibur there means an inyan, 10 inyanim. And the 4 mitzvos which are included in Lo Yehi Elecha are one inyan because they are all related to Avodah Zarah. So that's not a problem. Because the four in the Yielacho, it could very well be there were four. Why are they called the Gibor Echov? Because they are all associated with the same theme of Avodah Zorah. Avodah Krodorish. But the Ramban says, no, the catch is from the Pasuk. Torah Tivol Adam Moshe, that is 611, in Cain, from which you can see that Lo Yielacho is Eino Rak Mitzvah Achas Protis, that there's only one mitzvah Lo Yielacho, because otherwise how can you have in Anochi and Lo Yielacho, according to the Gemara in Makkos, only two, if according to the Rambam, Lo Yielacho itself yields four. Now see what this man does, and see what it does for our understanding of Ma'amad Harsin. Again the kasha. The Gemara says, we heard Anochi and Lo Yielacho from HaKadosh Baruch. And that was only two. And Moshe Rabbeinu added on another 611. So the kasha, says the Meshech Chochma, is, if according to the Rambam, Lo Yielacho includes four, then add that to Anochi and you get five. And take five from 613 and you get 608. So therefore we didn't hear 611 from Moshe Rabbeinu. We only heard 608. Says the Meshech Chochma, see what a man does. Ulam cholina l'rabbeinu sheyeyalei mimenu hamamar hashogo b'fi. You can't say that the Rambam forgot the Gemara Makkos, which he quotes endless times. Rak rabbeinu ozer b'shitosu b'sifro hamor chelik beis. The Rambam is consistent with his thesis, which he has outlined in great detail in the Mor and Avuchim, section 2, chapter 33. The Biur Oruch, with a lengthy exposition, Muchruch Mikol Shittas Rabboseinu Bala Talmud, which is proven from so many areas of Chazal, that what? The Yisroel Lo Shomu Rakol Elokim Belevad Belo Prote Hadvor. Oh, something new. According to the Rambam, Kol Devarim Atem Shomim, all Israel heard at Har Sinai, emanating from the mountain, were sounds. The only one who heard the words was Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol Devarim Atem Shomim. All you heard was a sound. But it was a sound. But there was no distinct words, letters, nothing. It was a sound. Ah, you'll say to me, says the Rambam, if all B'nai Yisrael heard was a sound, then how can the Gemara say, Anochi v'lo yihyelecha mipi ha-gevura shemanum, that B'nai Yisrael heard Anochi and lo yihyelecha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if all they heard was boom? Says the Rambam, we'll have a look in a moment inside, says the Rambam, Einachinami, all they heard was a sound. But the sound was of such a type that it confirmed for the Jewish people who stood there that it was a sound emanating from the God of the universe, of whom there was only one unique. The nature of the sound was such as to convey to those who heard it, we don't remember because we didn't hear it, at least if we did, it's been a long time. The nature of the sound confirmed that it was emanating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Hu Echad the Angel. Now we understand. They heard a sound, and the sound conveyed to them only Anochi and Lo Yielecha. So they assumed that they had heard only two things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who heard the words, came along and told them that in the sound were contained not two, but five. And so in reality, they heard from Moshe Rabbeinu 611, and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu only two. The fact that there are four in Lo Yielecho, and we are only told that B'nai Yisrael heard one, and not the other three, is because the B'nai Yisrael didn't hear the words according to the Rambam. They heard a sound. And the sound conveyed only Anochi v'lo Yielecho, but no more. Let us go into this. Aye, what does it mean if they only heard a sound? It means that they heard these by virtue of what they were able to understand is the nature of the sound which they heard. But the Rambam, and these are the Rambam's words, that these two basic precepts in our faith, that there is one God, Mitzius Hashem Yisborach Beheyosu Echad, Omnom Yusko Bemofis. They were not conveyed to the Jewish people by words. They didn't hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otsei Sicha. They didn't hear that. It was conveyed to them through a sound. B'chol Mashe Yivoda Bemofis, Mishpat Hanovibo, Hu Mishpat Kol Mashe Yidoeibo, Shove Ein Yisson, etc. So now you see that the kasha of the Ramban has vanished immediately. Ki darkon is gavah, because the Rambam's way is so lofty. Ukvar omarti, and I've always told you, ki divrei rabbeinu b'chol seforah, that the Rambam in all his writings, b'yad ha-chazaka, in the Mor and Nevuchim, and his perish to the Mishnayos, ruach achas. You can only appreciate the Rambam when you read all his volumes and then you see how everything does. So again, the Ramban argues with the Rambam because there is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says when the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, they heard no individual words from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it says, Anochi v'noyi elochom ipi agvur shemanum, it means that the sound itself conveyed that information. It was Moshe Rabbeinu who heard the words, and he understood that in those two diburim, because he heard them as words, are contained no less than five mitzvahs. So they heard 608 from Moshe Rabbeinu, and they heard a sound which conveyed another two from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who heard not the sound which conveyed the two to the Bnei Yisrael, but the words, showed Bnei Yisrael that there were not two mitzvos in those two, but five. And therefore, to the 608, you add another three. Torah Zivalonimash. See, Ramban, who says that the Bnei Yisrael heard the individual words coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why he has the kasha. How can Anochi v'lo yielecha contain five? If they heard the five diburim from Hashem, then they only heard 608 from Moshe. So here is again a Yesod Gadol, and many people are unaware of it. That there is a machlokus we've shown him as to what the Bnei Yisrael heard. So from the Ksava Kabbalah we have the idea that we heard Lefi Madrigosenu, and we have a machlokus Rambam and Ramban as to exactly what we heard, a sound or actual words coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me just conclude with a very gorgeous thought apropos of Shavuos, which I've always treasured from the writings of Hirsch, the way I've understood it. The 50th day of the Omer is the festival of Shavuos. Ad mimochras haShabbos haShviyos tisbru chamishim yom, and the 50th day of the Omer is, in fact, the festival of Shavuos. Hirsch asks the following question. Bnei Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim on a Thursday. That was the 14th, that was the 15th of Nisan. So they started counting the Omer on Thursday night. So the first day of the Omer is Friday. If the first day of the Omer is Friday, the 50th day of the Omer is Friday. But the Gemara in Shabbos says the Torah was given on Shabbos. So Shavuos is not a celebration of the day when the Torah was given. It's a celebration of the day before. Very unusual. In fact, the Rebbe Tzalel HaKohen, in the section that I quoted before, he says, the remez of the dates when the two luchos were given, the luchos lishonos, and the luchos achronos, is contained in the word Anochi. Aleph Nun is 51, because the first luchos were given on the first 51st day of the Yom. And Kaf Yud is Yom Kippur, on the second one. But it certainly wasn't given on the 50th day. So why is Shavuos the celebration when Shavuos is the day before we receive the Luchos?
secessionist in his own masterful way. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give a Torah to the world is not a cause of celebration. What is a cause of celebration? The fact that Bnei Yisrael realized that without the Torah, the world's not worth living in. The day before Matan Torah, when we stood patiently waiting to hear what the Torah was going to be, recognizing that without the Torah we have no pattern in life, we have no goals in life, everything is just meaningless, you do what you want, there seems to be no regimen, no purpose. The day that we recognize that is a greater day of celebration than the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us. The day when somebody wants to give you something is not a day to celebrate. The day when you realize that you need it desperately, that is a day to celebrate. That's why Shavuos is the day before Matan Torah. Because it's the day when Bnei Yisrael were anticipating and saying we need the Torah. A wonderful line, and with that I will close this evening. It always brings to my mind when I see Hirsch, always brings to mind a very, very powerful line by Abraham Joshua Heschel, who had a way in so many languages. He wrote a most magnificent volume, God in Search of Man. He ended up with the conservatives. He had a man in search of man in search of God, God in search of man. For people that they, in the Orthodox world, they always called him, they said his biography should be God in Search of Heschel. But he had some very, very wonderful and poetic nuances of language. And he said like this, and it fits in with, it's so beautiful. For the man to whom life is commonplace, the Torah is a problem. For the man to whom life is a problem, the Torah is the answer. Very, very. If life is commonplace, in other words, what's it supposed to add up to in the end anyway? Then the Torah is a problem. But for the person to whom life is a problem, he says, what am I doing here? Mo ani umeh chayai? The Torah is the answer. So we leave it over here. And just to mention, wishing you all, of course, the Chag Kosher v'Sameach, or whatever the appropriate phrase is. And we'll resume our deliberations on Monday week.